You're giving your ears a break this morning if you are not at your job, because within every industry sector, workers are at risk for work-related hearing loss. It's common and it's preventable, and we talk about noise exposure this morning. How to mitigate it? On The Conversation Starts Here with Dr. Sandra Miller from Complete Hearing in Lincoln. Complete-hearing.com is the place to go. Every Saturday morning, we talk about one of your very precious senses, your hearing. Dr. Miller, welcome in.
Glad to be back again.
I mentioned last week that I have a noise meter app on my phone, downloaded it. My work hazard, obviously, are my headphones. And as I mentioned last week, I downloaded the app, put it up to the headphone, and was pleasantly surprised. I'm in the mid-60s, thought I would be a lot louder than that, and you pointed out that when you wear both headphones, it makes a difference. A lot of factors go into it. But people are working at jobs and putting their hearing at risk if they do not have specialized or at least some type of ear protection.
Absolutely. So we're very grateful for the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. We're grateful for OSHA. There's so many agencies out there now that do govern most workplaces in terms of if the levels get too high, hearing protection is mandated or recommended. So we do see a lot of our patients coming in saying, yes, absolutely. I work for BNSF, or I work at Molex, or I work here. And yes, I work in an environment where it is required that I have hearing protection on, so which is a wonderful thing. Sometimes we don't want to do it because, I don't do that because I need to be communicating with somebody across the way, or it's a hassle, or I forget. So we want to talk about the importance of that and maybe some of the industries that maybe some of your listeners are in and why it's important, and maybe some of the hours that they need to know about. I think about when you think about even just a jet engine, when you see our military out on those jet engines on the aircraft carriers, and you definitely see them wearing hearing protection because any exposure to that level of noise is hazardous. It would cause hearing loss right away. But I also think about we're still in construction season. I was watching the news this morning thinking, oh, those roads are still closed. Or we have, I always think in Lincoln, we always have construction going on, which is a good thing. We're making our roads better. But whether you're using a rivet hammer out there or you're using some type of machinery that's going to be very, very loud, that hearing protection absolutely has to be worn. Rivet hammers and things that are busting up concrete are going to cause immediate damage if people aren't wearing hearing protection. So that's just something to think about in regards to things that you might be doing. And can go all the way down to even some people who are working in a metal shop or welding, things that you wouldn't think were as noisy, but you'd be surprised. I think about my son who works in an automotive center, and just the tire air pressures and things that they use and the drills and of course, he's going to say, Mom, we don't use drills. Just some of the things I think where people are like, oh, I never would have thought that would have caused damage to my ears.
I see more farmers with ear protection.
I love that.
That used to be kind of a weakness, so to speak. You know, I'm a farmer. I'm tough. Don't need ear protection. I see more that are wearing it, though.
Well, I think I'm so grateful because early on we didn't have tractors with cabs.
Right.
They were out in the open, and a lot of times we say they have farmer ear because they have noise-induced hearing loss, but whatever direction they're turning around to look behind them, we always can tell that one ear is worse than the other because that ear was always towards the engine. And so it is a good thing. We do have these, you know, tractor cabs now that are more enclosed, which is a good thing. But that noise level can still get to a level that may not be safe if they're out during this time of year, right? We're into the harvest season. And so you think about, you know, I'm on the tractor all day long, 8 hours a day. We're so grateful for our farmers skipping dinner so we can have dinner, which I think is awesome. We're grateful for that. But just remembering that they are still around a lot of information in terms of noise levels that could potentially be damaging to their hearing. So good for them. I'm going to continue to encourage them that that is definitely something you need to do, because once you have permanent hearing loss, it just doesn't come back.
A steady, continuous noise or sudden bursts of noise, fair to say, are both damaging, but is one worse than the other?
I would tell you they're both equally damaging, depending on the noise level. And, you know, one can happen impactfully immediately and one can happen over time. We just want to make sure we're protecting ourselves. We're kind of away from the firework season, hopefully, but we still have it. And so sometimes we tell you it's better for you to just let the don't be a DIY person at home, enjoy the fireworks from afar, because that's what would be best for your hearing overall. So that's just one area, too, where we want to make sure people are being safe.
Kids more susceptible than adults? We're not talking about work on this particular question, but just kids around noise?
Yeah. So I want you to think about, we talked about last time that we have this ear canal that's like a big tunnel that's closed on one end. And think about how much smaller kids' ear canals are. So their acoustic chamber is a lot smaller, which means even louder sound. A lot of times, see if you ever watch people who have their infant or toddler children at a football game or a race car event or something like that, and they have hearing protection on, wonderful, because think about how much more damaging it can be to them because that chamber is so much smaller, which increases the decibel level inside the ear canal itself.
And one type of earplug does not serve all situations.
Such a great comment. So true. So what I want you to do is anytime that you're going to be in a situation when you're going to be exposed to noise that's going to be excessive, is to find something that's, you can buy them over the counter for very reasonable, high noise reduction rating like we talked about last time, but something that fits comfortably. We are all made differently, for sure, and one ear of yours is likely different than the other. So your ears are not uniform in shape or size.
One has sharper hearing, maybe, than
in terms
the other?
Of shape, though.
Oh, shape.
Yeah, in terms of shape. And so sometimes you might find, well, this earplug fits pretty good on my right ear, but I tried it in the left, and I might have to go to a smaller size on that side because the ear opening just may be different. It's kind of like people who have different size feet for their shoes, but it's more unique. We see it in ears. Sometimes we'll take impressions of the ears for custom hearing protection. We'll take them out, and the ears will look completely different. And so they're curvy, they're one's bigger than the other, one's more round than the other. So you are made uniquely. And so sometimes we always say one size doesn't always fit all.
If I take out that earplug and there's a little bit of wax on it, is that a concern?
No, that's pretty normal. For the most part, I tell our patients that you have wax naturally occurring in your ear, and some wax is good. It protects the ear, keeps it healthy. When you take the earplug out, I'd be more concerned if you're like, oh, maybe I shoved all that wax down in my ear and now my ear's plugged. That'd be more of a concern. It's very common for you to have wax on the tip of that earpiece, for sure.
Is it really wax?
Wax. And what's interesting about your ear is not only does it creates wax and sloughs wax, but we have dry skin in our ears. Hopefully you're not sticking anything else in your ears that don't belong in there.
Like a cotton swab?
Like a cotton swab.
I really was going to do this. Bring a cotton swab, and without letting you know, no advance, just hold it up and get the reaction on your face.
I think my reaction would be, that's ear damage. Did you stick that in your ear this morning?
Put that away.
There's just so many, we're kind of getting to the topic of, you know, it's also protecting your ear. Aside from having hearing protection, is we just don't want to be sticking those things in our ears. If you read the back of that box, that Q-tip box tells you, do not stick this in your ear.
Right.
We don't listen, though.
Then what would be a good way to have your ears clean?
Such a great question. What I would tell you is your ear is like a natural conveyor belt. It is meant to just slough the wax and the skin right on out of your ear through showering, when we sleep at night, things like that. I'd say when you get out of the shower, simply dry your ears out and just use your towel to get the overall ear, and then just right inside the ear canal with a towel, Kleenex. Hmm. What happens when we use a Q-tip is we stick it in too far, and some of us just love to get in there and just dig. And what happens when you dig is you harm the ear canal itself. You potentially can. Any wax that might be in there, you end up pushing farther down into the ear, which is not a good thing, because overall, sometimes that just may create that you have wax plugged inside your ear, which is not a good thing. So that little Q-tip is not meant to be stuck deep inside the ear.
Did I hear you say that once hearing is damaged or compromised, it is irreparable?
Depending on what the cause is. So we had been talking quite a bit about noise-induced hearing loss. So previously we had talked about there's different kinds of hearing loss. And so when you have hearing loss that's caused by, I push too much wax inside my ear, that's not permanent. Typically, if we can take that wax out, it should resolve your hearing. We talked about middle ear type things, which would be ear infections, things like that. Typically, that can be remedied with some type of medication, or like with kids, they get tubes in to ventilate the middle ear. Permanent hearing loss typically is 90% of hearing loss. And it comes from those things we talked about last time, genetics and noise exposure and medications you may take over your lifetime. Once hearing loss is permanent, those little hair cells that sense sound inside the inner ear, they don't grow back. And so If we were birds, we could regenerate them and we'd never lose our hearing. But that doesn't happen to us as humans, so we want to make sure we protect what we have.
You have me really curious today. What are tubes in the ears?
Oh, such a good question. So what you want to think about, and this doesn't just happen for kids. And so both of my kids, as they were growing up, they get constant ear infections. And so the antibiotics weren't working anymore. So what happens is right behind that eardrum is a space that's supposed to be air-filled. And when you have ear infections, fluid fills up in that middle ear space, and it's not supposed to be there. So some kids and adults require that they just slit the eardrum, put a little hole in it, and then they place a tube into the eardrum. And that tube stays in there. And that tube ventilates that ear so it doesn't build up that pressure and then ultimately get fluid in it. For kids, usually they put them in and they come out in about 9 months, and naturally the eardrum closes back together. If you have a child or even an adult who has chronic ear infections, they never heal, they can put something called a T-tube, and it stays in a lot longer period of time to keep that ear ventilated so that the infection doesn't come back. So you've never heard of tubes in the ears?
I have, but yep. I have no idea whether tube was just a name that described something that was similar to a tube or whether it was an actual tube.
Well, they come in great colors. and they're, when you take them out, they're like the side, the tip of your finger. They're very, very small. But it just, the purpose of the tube in the ear for people who have constant ear infections, just to ventilate that middle ear space so it doesn't build up with negative pressure and then relieve the fluid.
The ear is amazing, and I'm just amazed by this device that we can't see tucked inside our head.
Yeah, it's one of those things, it's the sense that I think is most overlooked, and so the intricacies of the ear are really, it's amazing that we hear. We could go into a whole anatomy lesson on how does the sound hit the eardrum and then vibrate it, what happens to those bones, and how does that translate into sound? It's fascinating.
So it's only right we talk about it every Saturday morning on The Conversation Starts Here with Dr. Sandra Miller of Complete Hearing, 4200 Pioneer Woods Drive in Southeast Lincoln. That's northeast of 70th and Pioneers. Join us next weekend on KFOR FM 103.3, 1240 AM.